Have you ever slept in a tent and you heard something moving around outside in the dark? Is it a lion? Is it a tiger? Is it a bear? Oh my. Well, this happened to us once. Carl was with us. In the middle of the night, it was dark, dark, dark. And all of a sudden, we heard wrestling. Noises outside the tent. And then croak, croak, croak. That was a frog. But it didn't stop. And then I think Carl threw his shoe at it or something. But I don't know. I love that story. But anybody gone camping? Raise your hand if you've gone camping. You two out there listening in? Okay. So imagine yourself, you're in a tent and you're starting to breathe deeply. You've had a rough day and it's been a tiring day. And all of a sudden your eyes close. So close your eyes just for a second if you can do that. And listen to your heartbeat. Okay? Thum 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 thum. Okay, Matt. Okay, quiet. Oh, he won't stop. I got chubby fingers. So now you guys really get the point, okay? Oh, I lost the effect there, didn't I? But you won't forget that, right? Okay. Sometimes it's not a frog. Sometimes it is a lion out there. Just because lions are considered the king of the beasts, that doesn't mean they go around killing for fun. Unless, of course, you're talking about the two particular lions that were in Africa in 1898, who had killed 135 people. And guess what their names were? Ghost and Darkness. They were short-haired lions, but they had a taste for human flesh, and they don't know if they've got it from some of the corpses. When sick people were, they put them outside, and there was a lot of death and some disease going on. They don't know if they got a feeling for loving human flesh then, or what exactly it was. I've even heard they had some bad teeth, some of them, and they wanted to do something that was, I guess, a little bit plumper or something than the regular game or whatever. There's a lot of different reasons, but they had an urge for human flesh. They would pick that over almost anything. And these lions terrorized this railroad, stopped it because with 135 people dying and they were getting so bold, they would come and in the middle of the night, the person you're waking up next to isn't there when you wake up. Or he picked one in the middle of the tent and brought him out and no one woke up. They would come in the middle of the night and open their mouth to the point that the size of their head and just crush the human skull like that. Sometimes they would hear them coming through and they put these huge thorn brush all the way around, like 4-inch thorns on that they would weave together from these bushes and make them really tall, but they sometimes would hear them. They wanted those humans so bad that both of them would come through getting cut and everything, and finally get to them. And sometimes they get caught while they're in there, and they would actually jump over these 10-foot barriers with a human in their mouth. Luckily, Lieutenant John Henry Patterson did finally kill him. And that's a story in itself, just to hear all, whew, way better than the way I tell my stories. But you get the idea. Has anybody been to the museum in Chicago where these really are there? They don't look that ferocious there. They look a little dusty, actually, but that was outside your tent making that sound. Whew. And it was a mindset. It was that mindset that they were out there. They just enjoyed killing. They were man-eaters, ghost and darkness. Turn to Proverbs 30, verse 30, if you would. Proverbs 30, verse 30. And it talks about the lion, the king of the animals, who won't turn aside for anything. The lion, the king of the animals, who won't turn aside for anything. Here's some facts about lions. The Bible says it's king of all animals. I got some of these facts from the World Wildlife Organization, and then the other one was All God's Creatures, Spiritual Lessons from Animals of the Bible by Gary Richman. It's a really good book, and I got some of these facts from there, but lions have a physical characteristic that make them superb for hunting. They have incredibly big claws, 1.5 inches claws that retract in that are like razor blades. They can run up to 50 miles per hour in short bursts. This is the one that I would love to be able to do, is to jump 36 feet in length. When they're going 50 miles an hour and they pounce, you know, that gives some momentum, but they've seen them go up to 36 feet. That's just incredible. And I checked a couple sources to see if that was accurate, but male lions get to be 10 foot in length. That's taller than me, almost two of me. And and weighing 550 pounds. So we won't go there, but that's really big. 14 to 21 times stronger than a human. In this book, it talked about a person that was in a cage with one of them once, and it just was like a vice grip when it was just playing with them. It had so much strength. So what if it was mad or really wanted you? But 14 to 21 times the strength of a human. After hearing this story, it brings some scriptures more to life. So turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 8, please. And getting closer and closer to the end times, we have to look at these and really bring it to life and feel that urgency about these scriptures. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 through 9. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him, strong in the faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. But it brings it to life a little bit more when you think of the facts of how powerful these beasts are. And God wanted us not to underestimate Satan. And so my purpose today is for us to learn some good and bad lessons from lions, spiritual lessons. Some good and bad spiritual lessons from lions in the way they hunt. In the way they hunt. Lions are amazing hunters, like we said. Their main methods are stalking and hiding, or full out charging when they have a big game and they've got it cornered. And that's kind of like Satan. He does both those, stalks us and then sometimes just hits us full bore with a trial. They're fast, but they aren't the fastest in Africa. So my first point is, lions have a sense of urgency. Lions have a sense of urgency. No matter which way they're attacking, they know they only have a short window to catch that animal because they only have short bursts to get up to 50 miles per hour. And a lot of the other gazelles and stuff, they can go fast and sustain it. So their window is very short. They have that sense of urgency. I have got to stalk and work together until I am so close and then attack their prey. Satan has that same sense of urgency. He knows his time is short. He stalks us, or sometimes, like I was saying, he full out just straight attacks us. Revelation 12, verse 12. If you turn there, please. Has anybody ever been in a lion cage or a tiger cage or petted any? Down in Mexico, they had these little ones that had some down there, and they look cute, but they cost a lot of money to go into them. But I was just kind of curious. We've gone to some places where there's ligers and other things where they combine them, but they're just amazing beasts that God gives to help us warn us about Satan a little bit here. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, that you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. When you think of that line and you think he's coming at you with great wrath, not to play around, That's bad news for us, but the good news is he only has a short time. And make no mistake, he is all out war in so many different ways. We are being attacked and bombarded right now, and it's only going to get worse. So spiritually, we need a sense of urgency. Our time is short to preach the gospel, to overcome, and to really draw close to God, because we do not know when those little attacks, those big attacks, are going to hit. And we get attacks every day from Satan and his influence. Most believers have faced some spiritual battles over the years. As God's people, we know that time is short and coming. We see the prophecy. We know. And Satan knows the prophecy too. We have to be alert for that. Not scared of it, but alert of it, knowing where we are and knowing that we can't put off things of overcoming and other things down the road. But turn to Matthew 24:14. That probably stirs Satan up the most, one of the most things. Matthew 24:14, prophecy of knowing when Christ will return. Matthew 24, verse 14. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. This is one of the most significant signs for the fact that now we have the technology to pretty much get into all the world. But there's a short window, and a part of our mission as a church is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, into all the world and make disciples. So do we have that sense of urgency? Is that a high priority on our prayer list? To be praying for our media, BTD Daily, you know? Bless them to guide that money, to be able to reach places we've never reached before. To bring more disciples in so they don't have to go through that tribulation, that they can be called in the first fruits right now. That sense of urgency. If you saw the lion, attacking somebody, coming at somebody, wouldn't you have the sense of urgency? Come this way. Protect you. You know, I just think of that. By spreading that gospel, you're protecting them from Satan, that lion. Do we have that urgency? And to be a light. Let's turn to 1 John 3, verse 1. That urgency, the time is short, overcoming, and we're going for that prize. There's an urgency. We don't want to lose that. So, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to the world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, but we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is, and all who has that eager expectation, that urgency, that hope, will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. You know, that urgency to obtain this incredible gift, to be changed in the twinkling of an eye for eternity. That urgency, that knowing there's a lion out there that's trying to keep us from that with all his might. He knows every one of our weaknesses, and we can't slough it off anymore. Our goal is to be that new spiritual creation. Each and every day, asking God to make us more like him as we're studying the Word. Like Gordon Brockley said, the holy, righteous character. What does that mean? That's the only things you're taking into the kingdom is holy, righteous character, and hopefully all of us. And your children, that's the best thing, you know, to have, be able to have eternity with them too, and all of you. We have to have that urgency to overcome now. Revelations 3, verse 21. Revelation 3, verse 21. You have to make that come alive to us. And that there's a sick, sick individual out there that's trying to keep us from it. Revelations 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, now I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That doesn't just happen. We've got to humble ourselves, like it says in James 4, verse 7. Let's turn there. I love James. James 4, verse 7. That urgency to be submissive. In this world right now, there's so much disrespect and so much pride. And that pride, like a lion. You think that was an accident? That we're not supposed to have that. And that Satan has, like a lion, has pride. But it says in 4 verse 7, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We've got to stay close to him. We're no match for Satan without his help. And we have to have that sense of urgency that our life, our spiritual, our physical lives are at stake. We need to evaluate ourselves now and start changing, not giving us a pass on things we've been working on for a while and saying, no, I need to overcome now. I want eternal life with my family here. I'm just so glad to be here in church with you guys right now, and I can't wait to the people that are listening there. So I can't imagine how great a feeling it's going to be when we're changing the twinkling eye and we're all serving God for eternity. Focus on that urgency to get that prize. Second main thing about lions that we're learning, the way they hunt, is they are so focused and tenacious on getting their prey. Like I said, those lions, they went through those 4-inch thorn bushes that they'd put as a fence. They were cutting their flesh. They would not let anything stop them. They were tenacious. When you look up the Webster's Dictionary, it defines tenacious as something that is not easily stopped or pulled apart. One who is tenacious is firm, strong, persistent. And that's what a lion is on getting its game. It'll stalk it for hours. It doesn't give up. And then pounce when it's just the right second, that 36 feet, which I would love to see. And so the way Satan is like the devil is he's focused and tenacious on stalking us like that lion. He's waiting for that right moment. We can't give him that. We need God's Holy Spirit so bad that way. Each and every day, ask it to stir it up. Don't take it for granted. I mean, that's God's power that he's offered us. We have a part of that in us. But we have to remember our enemy is tenacious like that. Like those two lions. Anything at all possible, he will try to get to us to keep us from that prize. If you turn to John 8, verse 44. It talks about the way this world is out there right now and Satan. John 8, verse 44. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is the liar and the father of lies. Like those two lions, they loved to murder. They were sick. They were worse than other regular lions. And deception, that's Satan's two things. Murder and destruction and deceiving us. You don't have to turn there, but Numbers 23, it talks about in verse 24, Numbers 23, verse 24, the people rise like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion that does not rest till it devours its prey and drinks the blood of its victims. God wanted this to be graphic, knowing, hey, let me get your attention. Let's get focused. Let's really get tenacious and working on overcoming and everything. Because there is an enemy out there that is wanting this, our physical, our spiritual blood, and for us not to make it. We read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Let's go back there again. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, for he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. It says, stand firm against him. Stay strong in the faith. How do you get faith? By the word, hearing of the word. We've got to keep nothing from keeping us from doing our Bible study and our prayer. And not halfway Bible study, not halfway prayer, but we need every little ounce of God's help to withstand Satan. And it is going to be worse. I don't think we've seen anything yet here in the United States on how bad it's going to be. But knowing we have God's protection and knowing all his promises that are in the Bible that'll help us, it's amazing. But in this verse, it's like, stay alert. There is no time to lose our focus. None of us know if we're going to be here today, tomorrow, anytime. We don't know how long we have to overcome. We have to be focusing right now, and one wrong mistake can lead us out of that chance. Satan's out there lying and causing deception and trying to lead us away from the church. But remember, Satan is no match for God. God is way more powerful than Satan. And we have to keep reminding, but that's in the scriptures. And we'll get to some of those in a little bit to remind us. Because sometimes you read, when I was reading through some lion scriptures a while back, I was like, how many scriptures are there about lions in the Bible? And there's over 100. And I was like, most of the ones I remember are negative ones. But there's some really positive ones. And I got this picture on Amazon of this lion just roaring, and it's brings back some of these verses we're going to go over later on Christ and other things, but we'll get there. But we need to really be focused tenaciously in our spiritual lives. Are we focused that nothing's keeping us from our Bible study and prayer each day? Because Satan knows our vulnerabilities. We know a lot of our vulnerabilities, and we need to be working on them and keeping those scriptures in our mind and praying and fasting. Let's turn to Psalms 7, verse 1. Psalm 7, verse 1, some encouragement. Knowing if we are tenacious and we are focused, that in verse 1, Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. It's a great thing to pray to God in the day. Hey, I know Satan's out there. I know other people are out there that are going to rip me up, but be my refuge today. Be my fortress. Help me to resist Satan. We're going to go through some sufferings. Turn back to 1 Peter. Man, I'm making you work, aren't I? 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Should I have to just keep something there? But I wanted to keep you awake. Keep watching time because I can't see that clock up there. So, but in verse 10, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory is in Christ. After you have suffered a little, while himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. We are going to go through some things. We are going to get some scars from Satan. But it's going to be worth it. You look at Job and what he went through. He was attacked at a full out frontal, and then his friends, and then his wife, and everybody. And he spiritually became stronger, and his reward in the kingdom is going to be better for it. But if we think it's going to be a piece of cake, no, it's going to get worse. But like Webster's Dictionary, I like to reread that again. It's about tenacious and how we need to pray about and ask God, help me to be this way in my spiritual life. To be firm, be strong, be persistent, not letting anything keep me from talking to God and learning about God each and every day. Be steadfast, be highly determined. We know Satan's going to bring up, hey, ton of work at work. Boss just gave you a new report and everything. I had finals yesterday. Guess what God did? He moved my final till Monday. And then I never had yesterday off because of slavery day, emancipation. And sorry, I forget the exact name, but I had that off yesterday. God can work things out so you can work on your sermon, so you can get your study and everything. Had I prayed for that earlier in the week? Yes. But I didn't know he was going to open it like that. Does he always open it up like that? No. But he does hear us. And we are going to get some scars, but We got to be tenacious and not let him, Satan, keep us from that. We need to be tenacious disciples, and that's followers of Christ that are close to him. And some examples of that is in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. Turn there. Give some illustrations of being that Christian that's tenacious and is focused like an athlete, like a soldier. It just gives you some ideas that it doesn't just happen, but we have to work at it. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to be reliable people who will also be qualified to each other. Join with me in suffering. We're going to go through that suffering. But like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. Don't get all entangled in all the politics and everything, but rather ties to be pleased his commander, his officer, Christ, our officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victory crown except by competing according to the rules. Hardworking farmers should be the first to achieve a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying. The Lord will give you the insight into all of this. We've got to be tenacious soldiers, Christian athletes, and producing fruit like this farmer. This is a part of our mission, you know, as a church, to prepare people. Be a light. We have to stay focused because Satan is focused and tenacious about destroying us. Third main point about lions and the way they hunt is they realize the importance of teamwork and hunting as a pride together. They realize the importance of teamwork and hunting as a pride. Their success is so much higher. When the most important reason that lions are able to find enough food is that they usually do their hunting together, cooperation. They will stalk their victims for up to hours. And you'll see the precision. If you've ever seen National Geographic, one little lion will go this way, one little lion this way, little steps, and they stay low until they have it just right. But they work in unison together. And then sometimes the ones will come in from behind, and then the other one will roar like you heard, like nothing else, and drive them into the tall grass where the other lions are waiting. They work together. Most of the time, it's the female lions that are doing most of the hunting. But they cooperate. As we mentioned earlier, they don't have all that speed like a cheetah has. But so working together, that's how they really work like that. But I was talking about that speed, you know, 30, 50 miles an hour. When I was trying to measure up, how many feet per second is that? And I think I'm right. I tried several times with my calculator, but if you're going about 50 miles an hour, that's 24 feet per second. If a lion charges you at that, he's on you pretty quick. And that's the way Satan can attack us pretty quick, in seconds, and things can change. But it's still not the quickest one, to my point, and they need each other. But I just thought that was kind of amazing. 21 feet per second coming at you. They're on you. By working together, they tackle their prey, and they can bring it down, and they're a lot more successful. The lions are distracting you one way with the roar and attacking from the other way. The devil prowls around like that and has these huge roars to distract you from what we should be doing. A lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. So if it's right next to your tent, it's going to rattle you and vibrate you from the inside, which I hope I never hear. It scares me enough at the zoo when you're not expecting it and you hear it. So they use that loud, like Satan uses that loud, powerful roar and his teamwork of his demons and the people that he's influenced and the people that are the most influential in your life. Sometimes they'll use your boss, your mate, your best friend to influence you and to attack you. I just think of this coronavirus trial as like a lion roaring. And it's all the stuff that's terrible coming at you, attacking. But that there's other distractions coming in from behind. of unity and trying to divide people on different things. But this loud roar can come in a lot of different ways. It can come in a blessing. Sometimes you are blessed so much, and then you don't feel like you need God. And then you're attacked by other ways around, and then, I guess I just won't go to church, and I just won't pray as much because I don't really need his help that much. Or it can be a huge trial that depresses you and makes you bitter, and then you isolate yourself. It is so much like that, or you get offended. But this COVID thing of dividing people, whether you wear masks, whether you don't, no, we need to be showing love and kindness wherever people are at and whatever, and be there with each other, knowing we are a family church, knowing that Satan and his team are trying to destroy us. You guys are actually closer than most of my family to me. I just had a conversation like that with one of my friends. We need to put aside the little things and keep focused on the big things. There is so much love in this church. And there's so much hate in the world. And we just need to focus on that. Satan has this roar, and he tries to divide and separate. And we've got to be wary of it. But he attacks from a lot of different ways. The importance of us spiritually, of this team, and staying close, and doing whatever we can to keep peace. To not be an obstacle for somebody else. And ask God to see, hey, how can I help to bring more unity into our church and more love? And put me aside. Put my needs and humble me so we really can serve each other. And ask God, what are different ways we can serve? And like what Andrew was saying, talk about ways you can serve with your trials you've gone through and help people. The importance of our spiritual team here and God and staying close and working together, it goes back to our mission in the church where it says, we are a church led by the Holy Spirit. If we're asking God daily, guide me with your Holy Spirit. I mess up. I say the wrong thing all the time. I don't want to offend anybody when I go to church today. Please help me. It's going to cause unity in the church. It goes on to say, we're joined together, knit close together by every member's supplies. Joined and knit together by what every member supplies. Every member is important. I've had gout. My big toe is very important. So whether you're a big toe, a little toe, whatever, a stinky toe, right, Mike? Okay, he's laughing over there, so I got to keep him in mind. Whatever we are, we have so much value, so many incredible things we've been through that we can be encouraging. This COVID thing has separated us in different ways, but it's brought us closer in others. I mean, being able to do that church virtual camp, I think more of the parents got involved with their kids. So Satan's roaring this way. Well, if we stay close, we can come even closer when he's roaring out there and attacking us. And it goes on with our mission that with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose, all of us doing our share. So many times in a church, there's 80-20. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. Look around. Let's all say, this is our church, our family, and we are going to make every time we get together even more special. Let's not take it for granted. Turn to 1 Timothy 3:15, please. 1 Timothy 3:15. And those of you that aren't here now, you are with us in spirit and heart, and we want to be calling you and sending you letters and doing Zoom or whatever we can and praying that you guys all can be back here when it's safe and everything. But you guys are so close to us, and just want to make sure all you guys out there listening, if you haven't fallen asleep yet, we're really, really wishing you can come here soon. But it talks about in verse 15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground and the truth. This is where we get our protection by coming to church and staying close to church, whether it's physically or whether it's virtual, whether it's on the phone, whatever. Satan is not going to distract us from staying close to each other. And And to me, I've gone through some spurts of calling people, and then other times I haven't as much, or writing and haven't during this situation. And it's just another sense of urgency. We don't know what some of these people are going through in trials at home and stuff, since we can't see everybody every week. We need that sense of, and remember, we need it as a team. To not have just superficial talk when we're talking here. To talk about, hey, guess what? God blessed me with a new job this week. I've been looking for the right job, and he blessed me with the right job this week. It wasn't luck. God, let it happen. Or I was healed, or my son is out of the hospital, or other things. Or I read this incredible article, and it hit me. When we're here, we're edifying each other. And that's the same way when we're on Facebook or other things. That's what we should be doing. Fourth point. Lions hunt in the dark. That's where they hunt the best. The way their eyes are shaped, they're unique than some other cats, but they can see about 6 times better than us in the dark. Another reason they hunt in the dark is because out in Africa, where they hunt, not usually in the jungle, they're called the king of the jungle, but not really usually, where there's not much things to hide behind. So at night, it gives them more of an advantage there. But that's like Satan. He does his best work at night. You ask any police officer, when do most violent crimes happen? At night. When do most robberies happen? At night. When do most rapes? When do people get on the internet most of the time? If they look at activity, it's usually at night, late at night. Satan weaves in and can come in at so many different ways nowadays with technology. Turn to John 3:19, please. This world talks about that. John 3:19, it summarizes that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Because their deeds are evil. That's like Satan. Satan hunts best at night with his roars of lies and deception, which brings darkness from the truth. Literally, young adults and teens, I know God has protected me because I was out too late a lot of times at night, know that anything after midnight, so many times, people are up to no good. And try to stay out of those situations. Pray that God gives you the wisdom. I mean, we all have to be out after midnight and stuff, sometimes and stuff like that, but no, that's when the bad element a lot of comes out even more. John 8:44, we've already been there, but at the end part of it, it talks about that when Satan, he lies, he speaks, his native tongue is lying. That brings a sense of darkness, not light. And like we've said, on the internet, with this COVID, more people have been on the internet sending lies, sending gossip, being accused or being hate. Almost every word that describes Satan, people have spewed onto the internet. And the more you're infiltrated by that, the more you read it, even if you're not a part of it, just reading, it's like it affects you. It causes a feel of helplessness. Satan wants us to be focused on all that darkness instead of taking that time. I've got a timer on my phone. It says how long I've been on different apps. I don't know how to get it off, which is really annoying. But forgot a password, but it really tells me, you've been on Facebook for 15 minutes, you've been on this 15 minutes. And it's like, have I prayed today 15 minutes? Have I? How many times do I hit that? To look at Fox News, look at CNN, whatever. But it's a reminder that Satan is spewing out all these lies. We need to be focused on the truth. I mean, soaking it in daily. So those verses come out. There was a verse on how the kingdom is going to be so peaceful that I shared on the internet the other day. That I'm like, no, that's the government I want. I look at all this news and everything. There's no peace. There's no solution here right now. It's God's way. He died for us. He's coming back. With those verses, they give you that peace. But it has to be saturated in our brain. We've got to be reading it and thinking about it. Ask God, when I'm studying today, give me that Holy Spirit to really understand those some of those things that I've read before come out even more. But saturate our minds with that. Because when we do that, it reminds us of God's promises that he is our stronghold. He'll be there for us. And we need to be bringing light to the world. Not random acts of kindness, planned acts of kindness, I say. Ask God to show you how we can bring little planned acts of kindness into the world out there. Share something positive on the internet. How God blessed you. How someone was healed. Whatever. Combat it. One person at a time. Do something nice for one person at a time. No matter what the color, no matter what. Focus on bringing light. Look at the fruit of God's Spirit. Say, today I'm going to work on anybody I come in to show extra love. To bring joy, peace. It's got to be planned. It doesn't just happen. I'm going to give you some homework. And this is the last part of this verse. And I'll give you this verse, these verses to listen to. Because we want to make it to the kingdom. It says this. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Who wouldn't want to be working on that every day? So write this down. Please go home, pray about this, read this. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. Do these things and you will not fall away. Study. They have to be in our brain and not just read over them. When I read the Proverbs to Tiffany or Farah in the morning, it takes forever. Because each one of them, each little one, okay, so how can we apply that today? How can we apply that today? But that's why we need to be picking apart verses and stuff to apply them each day. And look at how we can bring light. Turn to Revelation 5:5, please. Talking about the most powerful lion ever. Revelation 5:5. Jesus returning. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed." He's going to win. He is able to open the scrolls and its seven seals. It's an encouraging scripture, knowing that it's going to be bad right after that. But our lion wins. It talks about Satan beaten like a lion. We have the lion of Judah, on our side. And when I look at that picture that's on our mantle now, I think of that. If I do my part and stay close and stay us close and keep overcoming, he's protecting us and he wins. I see that powerful lion. But he's not ferocious like that. To us, he wants to be that protector, that kind of lion protecting us. I saw another picture of him, just a lion in the darkness, just a little, and just see a little bit. He's like, "I am here for you when you need it." I'm a visual person, just knowing God is there like a ferocious lion to protect us, to encourage us that we're going to prevail. And 1 John 4:4, turn there if you would. 1 John 4:4. First John 4:4. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Be the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Jesus is in us. He will help us to overcome. Satan is the one that's in this world. We're going to overcome him. If we humble ourselves now, we have a sense of urgency. We learn from the way the lion attacks. We have that same sense of urgency, knowing our window is short. We're focused on overcoming, preaching the gospel, being a light, being ready to give an answer to other people, not in a preachy tone, but in a, hey, answering their question in love. If they have more questions, but being able to be that light that draws somebody, that doesn't make them want to go away. Focus on that importance of bringing light each and every day. How can you bring light? Never forget the importance, I think, this COVID thing, of us as a congregation being together, praying for each other, working together, and someday all being physically together. There's going to be another mighty roar when Jesus returns as the King of Judah. and the Lion of Judah.